Program activated.
Attention, everyone. The unpleasant noise you are about to hear coming from your radio is not a mistake.
Okay, first things first, what is your name?
This is Big Sonny, playing the best of the 90s and beyond.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Radio in motion.
Please do not turn off your radio, but turn up the volume on your receiver as high as it can go.
All right, here we go.
Radio in motion.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. Tonight on Radio Motion, we're doing our sweet 70s sound. Sort of those songs that you feel like that were on in the background that your parents were playing. And for me, I feel like it was always when I was doing the chores. So at least there was something positive that was sort of driving me in the background. And that's a lot of those great 70s tunes. But now we're going to do another installment of The Ugly Truth. And The Ugly Truth is the Oscars are just becoming a non-thing. And let's face it, I feel like the Oscars haven't been really worth talking about since Will Smith, livened things up with Chris Rock. And that seems to be the only time anyone talked about the Oscars. And, you know, I also feel like it's no fun when you feel like the Oscars are just all the Hollywood elites, the overpaid, overhyped actors and directors flying in on their private jets while they, tell us how evil we are for not caring about a climate change and, you know, capitalism is evil. While they wear their Armani suits and $10,000 dresses, it's a little bit hypocritical and, a lot of hubris as they essentially just, flate each other all night and congratulate each other. By the way, when I talk about the Oscars, it makes me sad a bit because that was one of those things that I was always really excited about. It was really just a culmination of all the great movies you saw through the year and you wanted to see who won. And again, that's how the tradition used to be, and it certainly has changed. It's lost its luster. And when I talk about the Oscars and Hollywood, I'm talking about that Hollywood bubble in California, those elites who live in their mansions on the countryside there on the where they always get earthquakes and landslides. By the way, why are all those million-dollar homes on the side of those cliffs? Anyway, that's California's problem. But again, I'm talking about that Hollywood elite bubble that live there. I'm not talking about all the hardworking people that make movies, or specifically the actors and actresses or the directors who that is their passion. And I still believe in that. You know, movies are a big part of my life and a huge part of pop culture and all of our lives. And that part is separate. When it comes to a movie and the pure art of cinema, that's different, and I still think it's a beautiful thing, and I think it's hiding out there somewhere, hopefully. But when I'm talking about the Oscars, it really is, like I say, just a night where they all congratulate each other for being very awake to all the problems of the world as they tell us minions and lower people what to do. Again, that's the part that hurts. It's the hypocritical part. But anyway, let's get the first thing out of the way. The big Barbenheimer summer, Barbie and Oppenheimer. Well, let me tell you, Oppenheimer knocked Barbie down with a 1-2-3 punch. Best picture, best director, Chris Nolan. Best actor, Cillian Murphy. And it's about time, best supporting actor, Robert Downey Jr. I'll talk about him a bit later. I think he got a nasty uppercut in the show from Jimmy Kimmel, which really wasn't warranted. But yeah, the Oscars, they've been so political now. And again, that's the problem with Hollywood. As you know, no one wants to hear all this political dogma and propaganda from Hollywood. Just give us a movie. Just do what you do best. Entertain. Don't try to make everyone, so divisive that they try to pick a movie because you've ticked all the boxes. That's not what we want. Just entertain us. But the interesting thing is usually they are a bit more political. When they go to the mic, they always do their speech, they do the big political thing. They were a little bit humbled last night, a little bit subdued, including Jimmy Kimmel. And I think that's because Hollywood is feeling like they are backed into a corner, folks, because they have not been knocking out of the park at all in the past few years. And last year, and this year's looking about the same, was really quite dismal with movies. And I'm not knocking Oppenheimer. It certainly deserves, you know, to be recognized. But I'll be honest, I feel like if Oppenheimer was released a few years ago, when Hollywood was still riding full steam ahead on other motion pictures, it might not have fared as well. But this is what happens. You get desperate for anything, and even something that's pretty good ends up being astounding. So I think that's interesting. But yeah, the whole opulent spectacle of out-of-touch people who have no idea that Americans are or people around the world, Australians, Britain, everybody, who can barely afford to pay their heating bill. You know, I think it's tough when they have such hubris and they're so out of touch. Also, I wanted to note, this is an interesting thing. When you watch the Oscars, and I've watched this through history, I'm sure some of you are older, have seen this with actors that you grew up with. As actors get older, I think, especially when your life is spent in the limelight, it's tough. It's not easy. I feel for them. I get it. But if you chose that life, you know you've chose being in fame and in the limelight, and especially nowadays, even more so than 20 years ago, 30 years ago, everything you do is photographed, videoed, and it's out there immediately on social media. So it's difficult to see aging actors and actresses. I'm not saying they can't. We all age. We all get older. But I think they do need to take a page out of probably Jack Nicholson's book. Have you heard from Jack Nicholson lately? He is still alive. He admittedly, even himself, he sort of drifted away on purpose. And I think it was the movie Departed. That was probably the last time, that was the last movie he made. And he said he could feel that, you know, he was having trouble remembering lines, and he could just feel he was losing that touch. And it was even annoying the other actors a bit. Not that they'd ever say it, working with someone like Jack Nicholson, one of the greats. I doubt they would. But he recognized that not only was his talent still there, but his ability to do his best work was maybe, you know, time to ride off in the sunset on a good note. There's nothing wrong with that. Bow out on a good note. Seinfeld did it. Go out on top. And then keep that memory in people's minds. I know it's harsh. You're like, oh, what? They can't age? That's not fair. No, I'm going to be honest. When it comes to the limelight and fame, you should bow out when you can. And so when I see Al Pacino, he's up there on stage pretty much looking like someone just woke him up from the nap. Hey, Al, you're on. And he just woke up. Hey, I'm on. It's like he just came out there grumpy, looking like an old man who just didn't get enough sleep, or you woke him up from a grumpy nap in his favorite chair. Again, I know it sounds harsh, but I don't want to see that. I'd rather think of Al Pacino at his best. And the other one is Robert De Niro. And again, when they're starting to get political, Robert De Niro's got such Trump syndrome. Again, I don't care what you think about any politician. I just, when they use their platform to just go out there and tell us that, you know, we're just peons, we know nothing, and he's got such Trump-itis, I tell you. He's stuck on he's on the one note now. It tarnishes and diminishes his great work and his body of work. You know, that's the problem. I don't want to think of Al Pacino and Robert De Niro as being grumpy old men who are telling us off at who we voted for. What is that? I thought they were just amazing actors who over the years have shaped cinema. I'd rather that. So that's a tough one. There was a nice moment with Arnold Schwarzenegger, Arnie, and Danny DeVito, and Michael Keaton. That was pretty cool. You know, a lot of the Batman lineage there. And of course, Danny DeVito and Arnie, you know, when you see them together, I can't help it. I just think of Twins and just one of the classic and best movies. I think it's like a fine wine. It's aging better. Everyone should see that to see what movies could be like. Just very lighthearted, putting Arnie and Danny DeVito in a movie together and their brothers. Oh, hey, that's crazy. But it really worked. Their chemistry was all time. So they were on stage presenting, and that was fantastic. And Danny DeVito having a go at Michael Keaton. And Michael Keaton's looking back at him with a Batman scowl, kind of saying, yeah, come at me. I'm still Batman. I've got it. Obviously, Danny DeVito as the Penguin, and Arnie, you know, they were both defeated by Batman. But I think, you know, it's great to see that when the nostalgia is still there and someone is still with it. I certainly always say this about William Shatner. The man is in his 90s. If you listen to him or see him on a podcast, the man, it's not that he still looks good, but he's still sharp as a tack and he's with it. And he just says it's genetics. I don't know about that, but hey, if it's genetics, good on him. But it's good to see that sort of nostalgia. I love seeing that. It's interesting, a few of them were bagging the movie Madam Web. Look, what can I say? It opens itself up to be bagged. It's been totally trashed by critics and fans. And Madam Web is one of those movies that is failing for the perfect example of Hollywood trying to force the message and tick all the boxes. And you can't make a movie by committee. You can't say, well, we need to please everyone, and we also need to make sure the movie is diverse and we tick the boxes and all the subject matter is acceptable and no one will be offended. That's not possible. That's especially not possible with art. I've talked about that before. It makes no sense. Art is what it is. You either like it or you hate it. Let the chips fall where they may. But the interesting thing about Madam Web I wanted to talk about is this is the first time I've actually seen one of the stars talking about it while it's still out. Dakota Johnson, the star of Madam Web, actually was sort of noted as saying in an interview, essentially what I just said. She's saying, you know, it really, the art suffers. You can't make a movie by committee. This is quoting her statement. Films are made by a filmmaker and a team of artists around them. Absolutely. You can't make art based on numbers and algorithms. That's a fact. You can't try to have a boardroom of execs decide how to force the movie to be good and tick all the boxes. It doesn't work like that. I was thinking, even if they were going to start using AI, you know what? As much as some of those little videos are convincing that AI makes, nobody would believe that crap. Nobody would buy it. Nobody would go watch an AI created movie. And that's what you're doing now. You're trying to make a movie by equation. And it just doesn't work. And again, if you're trying to force, now also, if you know this, you should know, the Oscars now are even harder to get into. You can't just make the best movie with the best people and the best director and the best story, and it touched a wide audience and had a message and also possibly was popular at the same time. You can't do that. Now they have to tick boxes. The minute you start ticking boxes, that something that's mandated before you can even be considered for an award to be recognized, you're immediately not getting the best person for the job or the role. That's a fact. I'm sorry. That's called meritocracy, and you can't design it with data. I think there was an interesting thing. There was Ryan Gosling. Now, he's not the star of Barbie, but based on the Oscars, when he got up there and sang his Ken song, it sure looked like he was a star. I tell you, it's an interesting takeaway only because the Barbie movie really raked Ken across the coals. Really were kind of harsh to him as a role. It was a full-on, you know, Ken-hating movie. So I thought it was funny that he got a bit of the limelight there. But, you know, the thing is again, the Oscars in general are becoming a sort of irrelevant. They used to at least be lighthearted, and the little jokes and the stabs they would have would be about themselves. They used to actually be able to put a mirror up to themselves and have a joke. But, you know, if you recall the Ricky Gervais and the Golden Globes, still, those memes are still around because that was one of the best moments. I still love the Tom Hanks moment, you just can't believe he just said that. Oh, you mean Ricky Gervais came out and made a joke that was actually honest and realistic to how you all act, and it was perfect, and it called you all out on your Hollywood BS. Of course they didn't like that, but was Ricky Gervais would have been one of the best and seriously should host again. Jimmy Kimmel. What can I say? Jimmy Kimmel's not even funny at the best of times. I'm sorry. He needs a whole team of writers. And when he is, lately, for the past decade, he only seems to focus on just the very divisive political jokes. And that just gets old. Just chill, man. Just have a laugh. So he was a bit dry and predictable and actually not as divisive as I thought. So that's interesting. I feel like Hollywood's getting backed in a corner here, and they feel like they can see now that the tide is turning, and that when they turn on the audience, when you turn on the people that provide your income, because you want to take a certain side, a political side, and you want to inject it in the entertainment industry, and then people don't show up to the movies because they're crap, you get mad at the audience because you made crap. I think they're finally starting to wake up to this. So yeah, a lot of his jokes didn't land, but they were safe. So it was safe, but the Oscars are now boring because they're just safe. At least when they're a bit political, it was a bit spicy. It's interesting, though. Now, this is one part I want to talk about. Robert Downey Jr. winning for Best Supporting Actor. So he had a joke at Robert Downey Jr.'s expense talking about, oh, this is one of the most, you know, one of the highest moments in Robert Downey Jr.'s, you know, Hollywood career. Well, maybe not one of the highest. And he was sort of pointing at his nose, you know. So he's having a go at when Robert Downey Jr. had some tough days and he was down and out. And yes, it had to do with drugs. So that's what Hollywood is, really. I think those that do drugs shouldn't throw stones, which is probably everyone in Hollywood, the land of debauchery. So he had a go at Robert Downey Jr., you know, punching him while he's up, I suppose. But you know what? For Robert Downey Jr. to have come back from that, everyone knows that is a huge comeback story, because he could have gone into oblivion. He could have been just the mugshot, and that's all we remember of Robert Downey Jr. Could have been great, and then had a problem with drugs, and he's out. No, he's come back to not only probably completely building the billion-dollar industry of Marvel for a decade as Iron Man, he's gone on to show that he still has the chops to do roles like this because he's a brilliant actor. And there's no point. It's just ridiculous for Jimmy Kimmel to have made that joke. Jimmy Kimmel, by the way, better watch out. You know, cancel culture loves to come to cancel you. Now, Jimmy Kimmel is a total shill for the political Hollywood machine. He says all the right things, but he loves himself some blackface. Oh yeah, he's done that plenty of times. So one day they might, you know, come after him for his, you know, indiscretions that don't fit with our current politically correct, you know, climate. And blackface is certainly not one of those. Yes, Robert Downey Jr. did that in Tropic Thunder, and it was hilarious. You know, people don't get comedy anymore. They don't understand the context, especially that movie. Tropic Thunder was specifically about holding a mirror up to Hollywood and making fun of it. I remember there was a time Billy Crystal hosted, and he was dressed as Sammy Davis Jr., who is a very famous African-American man. But, you know, the audience understood that Billy Crystal was doing it with respect, and he did a great Sammy Davis Jr. impression. He does. And he always has. So he did it with the full makeup. But you know, Jimmy Kimmel has dressed up in full black attire as a black woman in a fat suit. So I'm just saying, if he thought, oh no, I was just trying to be funny. It was just a joke. Okay, so then you get to pick a side. Is it a joke, or are you going to have a go at someone because, you know, you're having a go at him because he was on drugs? But you know, again, you know, those in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. So, you know, Jimmy Kimmel, I don't know. You better watch out. They might be coming for you. So anyway, I do think Hollywood deserved to be brought down a peg or two. And I think that has happened. Again, the Oscars are still lame. It's 3 hours of nonsensical hubris. But, you know, the audiences just really aren't into it anymore. And again, it used to be, movies could be artistic, but also entertaining. It could be, you know, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. It could be something that also, you know, Lord of the Rings. The movies can be epic and actually make money. And that's why I think it's interesting that Oppenheimer did win quite a few of them, because it did make money. So it'd be like, I equate this to Top Gun Maverick. Hugely popular. All audience, all ages, all genders. Everyone showed up to it. And it was a great success. But Hollywood would never look at that, because they don't see that as something that's artistic and poignant. But, you know, again, why can't it be both? So yeah, Top Gun, even though audiences enjoyed it and it brought the money and it helped, you know, theaters to spring back after COVID, they won't give props to that. But, you know, I think they've given it to Oppenheimer because, again, it was really a lackluster year. So anyway, that's my take on the Oscars. I don't know where the Oscars are headed. I think they're pointless. I think you could just have it in a 15-minute wrap-up and just have a computer tally up everything and have AI program jokes. Ha ha, wasn't that funny? Now, here's our next guest. Because Jimmy Kimmel, man, ain't doing it for me. All right. Hope you enjoyed that installment of The Ugly Truth. More great songs coming up next on tonight's Radio Motion, our sweet 70s sound. Coming up next after a word from our sponsors.